Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Inside of me, I heard, give him $5. Took my elbow and just nudged him. And when he raised his head, I just stuck my hand over there and gave him that $5 bill. After the pastor dismissed the service, he turned over there to me and said, I was sitting over there praying. And he said, I told the Lord, he said, Lord, I really love you. If I had anything, I would put it in my offering. Just as I said that, Lord, you jabbed me in the ribs.
My mother had a friend who owned a toy store. Mother would go over there and buy stuff for the children at Christmas time. And they had a Ouija board. And so she bought them one. And so we got to messing around with that. And you could ask that thing things and you would get answers off of it. I told the kids one day, I said, no, we're going to get rid of it. And down the road, we did learn that it was wrong. A spirit gets involved with that thing.
He said, every joint in my body is swollen. He said, I got my shoes on. He said, I can't even tie my shoes on my feet. Would you please pray? And before I could reply, just that quick, Lord said, call him out and I'll heal him. So I said, can you get out to the end of the aisle there? And I just barely got my hand on him and said, in the name of, I don't think I even finished. Just as soon as I did that, every joint said, all the pain was gone. The Lord healed him instantly on the spot.
Welcome, truth seekers, light bearers, and the lost, to the Light and Darkness podcast.
We hope this show can shed some light on whatever leg of the journey you're on. We are your hosts. I'm Corey.
And I'm Daniel. Welcome back, everybody.
And welcome to this week's episode. So excited about it. Another thing we are excited about is what we have been telling you about for quite a while. But we know you get busy. You forget to actually follow the simple prompt of litdpod.com/support or going down and clicking the support the show link down in the show notes to procure your sticker, LITD pod sticker, for a donation of absolutely any amount.
You know, Corey, I did get this new water bottle as an early birthday present, and it's one of these new awesome Stanley cups. But I must say, despite the beautiful matte finish and soft handle, it's a bit naked.
It is a bit naked. I'm telling you what, they would have to put little blurry bars over it. If it was on TV, I'm glad we don't have a camera set up right now, because it would have to have little black bars across it.
It is. And so instead of spending the money on all that equipment to censor, which I'm sure one day we'll need when we go to video.
Yes.
Naturally.
Because we normally record in the nude.
Well, I mean, it sounds vulgar when you say it that way. Just an au naturel.
Au naturel. You know,
I think instead of that, I'll just put a nice LITD pod sticker bikini on this here mug.
That sounds like a lovely idea and a rather ordinary, everyday, common use for the stickers. Now, we give you all kinds of outlandish ideas of what to do with these stickers. And honestly, we can't endorse any of them besides using them for their obvious intended purposes of, you know, snatching things up a little bit.
Yeah. You jazz something up when you stick something good on it.
Yeah.
And that something good just happens to be an LITD 3.5 by 3.5 sticker.
Yes. So while we would love to tell you to continue patching your tents and hot air balloons and oxygen tanks.
Scuba tanks.
And how we would love to tell you to slap some of these together to stretch your somebody out, or I don't know, any of the other crazy, zany little ideas we have for our stickers. They are, for legal purposes, just intended to look good.
And I had it mentioned to me by an unnamed source, while they look good on the reflective glass of the side mirror of your car, we can endorse covering the actual reflective part, maybe on the backside.
Mm.
But as far as putting it on that glass, we're going to have to say that is a no bueno.
Yeah, you don't want to cover up that little bit of fine print where it says objects in mirror may be closer than they appear.
But yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
Because you covered it up. Alas.
So that's litdpod.com/support or by clicking the support the show link down in the show notes to get your litdpod.com sticker. And now the part that everybody has been waiting for. We have a lovely interview for you here today. Now, this episode is reaching back way, 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 way back to the very beginning of LITDpod. I believe this interview may, in fact, have occurred before the podcast even launched.
Correct.
This is an oldie, but a goodie. The oldest one, the farthest one we've reached back for. Now, why have we waited so long to air this podcast? You may be asking. That is a lovely, wonderful, sensible question. And the answer is this episode was recorded with our old equipment in a space that we didn't normally record in. And at the time, I told Daniel, I just don't know if we'll be able to make this sound up to the quality standard that I have in my heart for our little podcast.
It's true. He said that, and he is a sound diva, but we love him.
And Daniel was very understanding, but he walked away from that conversation with a little bit of a glassy look in his eye. A tear gently rolled down the corner of his eye because this interview was actually with some people that he's very close to. So all this time later, to make a short story long, in celebration of Daniel's 31st birthday, which was yesterday, happy birthday, Danny boy, we are bringing you our recording with Nana and Poppy Carnes.
This is something near and dear to my heart. This is a glimpse into, well, honestly, part of what makes me me. This is the stock that I come from. This is my grandmother and my grandfather on my mother's side. And they're going to talk about some of their encounters with the Holy Spirit, the ministry that they had together. And I just hope that it has the same effect on you that it had on me and has had on me, gosh, for most of my life. And what really was one of the driving forces behind me seeking the things of the Lord, because I saw what my grandparents did in Jesus's name and how they were able to partner with him in ministry and just affect so many people. So,
without further ado, let's get to it.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Light in the Darkness podcast. We have two of my favorite people in the world here, Gary and Martha Carnes, or as I know them, Nanny and Poppy. They are awesome. They came about in the charismatic movement. They've got some awesome stories from being in ministry, from awesome encounters with the Lord. We hope that they minister to you as you hear them and that God would meet you right where you are. So I guess to get started, where I'd really like to jump into it is, what was your childhood like growing up in the church? What churches did you come up in? And kind of what did that look like on an average Sunday? You can start if you want to, Nana.
I grew up in the Baptist church in a little town called Great Falls, South Carolina. And it was a wonderful church. We had Sunday school and we had different things, different departments of the church for the young people. And I was content with that, didn't know any better, didn't know any different till I was about 30 years old. And we started to listen to other ministries. and found out about this thing called baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I had heard a little bit about that speaking in tongues when I was growing up from the Pentecostal church in our town. And the other people that were not Pentecostal always looked down on it and made fun. But when you get involved in something and it happens to you, you know that it's real.
Amen.
There's no doubting.
Praise God.
And you want to share it with everybody because it's so wonderful to pray and pray that way. You know that it's right and that God hears it. So we left the Baptist faith and went to the Pentecostal movement. Well, it was the charismatic movement at that time, but it was all in the church where we were. So our children really got involved in it. They were real young teenagers, very young. And in fact, our son spoke in tongues before we did.
Well, glory to God.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he did.
Uncle Chris first.
And the Lord would tell him things. So we were living in Florence, South Carolina at that time. And we really just wrapped ourselves up in the church and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That was everything. And watched our children grow, and we grew too. Then my husband later on had a call on his life of ministry. And we went out to Oklahoma to the Kenneth Hagin School and learned so much. It was only a one-year school that time, but we learned a lot and came back to South Carolina to share what we had. Some people, friends, old friends, some people wanted to receive it. Other people did not. But when you know something is real, you want to give it to everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the very start of our life in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that was an entirely new thing in our life.
Because, yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons it was so exciting. It's something that we'd never been taught. And then when we actually saw it in practice, and we saw all the scripture reference to it, and we understood that it was for real. I remember when I tried to talk with the pastor of this church we were in, and I was telling him about this experience, and he said, that's just folks who want to have some kind of a personal experience. I said, you're exactly right. That's what I wanted to have. We weren't well received after that, so we started looking for what we called the full gospel church. And we found a little assembly church and started over there. And speaking of Chris getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, while we were over there, the Lord started using him in tongues with interpretation. He wasn't doing the interpretation, but he was giving the utterance.
Okay.
And the pastor's mother was the one who was the primary interpreter in that particular group. So we got really excited about it. And we went from that to another church that didn't have everybody over there was charismatics. The pastor came out of the Methodist church after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And about half the congregation came with him, and the rest was stragglers like us that came in that group. But it was a wonderful place for growing and praise and worship, and you had manifestations of the Spirit. It was really wonderful. And we were there when the Lord started dealing with me, and it took me a while to adjust to it. But anyway, we started looking for a school to go to. And it just so happened, just a couple of weeks later, somebody showed up down there that he just got out of school, and he was ministering that night. And so after the service, we just went over and spent some time with him. And he just sold us on the school he had just gotten out of. He told about what was going on, the things they were learning, and so forth. So that's what got us into Tulsa, Oklahoma. We made arrangements, and it took us a little while, but we got out there before the year started. The whole bit. And we were just like everybody else. We tried to take a little bit of money so we wouldn't starve while we were in school, you know. But the thing is, we're starting to learn things we did not know and things that were in the Word of God, in the New Covenant. And it's exciting when you can be involved in the move of the Spirit. Have you ever believed God for any money?
Yes, sir.
I was 40 years old, and I'd never believed God for a penny in my life. Never. A lot of people pray to God to ask for money. Most people do not get money when they ask God for it, because Satan is such a hinderer as the God of this world. He has more leverage over that money than anybody else. That's why you have to take authority over him when you believe in God for money. Anyway, we got on Mark 11:24, and it just, everybody talked about Mark 11:23, but Mark 11:24 just registered with me inside. And we got in a kind of a bad way financially out there. And I came home from school one day, and I just went in the bedroom and started praying. And I said, Lord, you sent us out here. And I said, I've got to have some money. So I told him, I said, I need $500. I'd never believe God for a penny. And I said, I need $500. And I said, I'm going to just tell you what you said in your word. You said, what things soever you desire when you pray, to believe that you receive, and you shall have it. And I said, that's what I'm doing right now. I said, and from this day forward, I'm not going to ask you for the money again. Every day when I come home from school, I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to thank you that you gave me that money today. The next day I came home from school, I went in that bedroom and lifted my hands and my voice. And that's what I did. I praised God that I had that money. And that went on till Friday. And I was in there Friday doing that. And Martha came, knocked on the door, and said, I had a phone call. Well, I went and picked up the phone, and the guy on the other end said, hey, Brother Gary. He said, the Lord's been dealing with me ever since Monday to come over there and see you. And he said, I haven't been obedient. And I just want to apologize. He said, so what I'd like to do is just take you and your family out for dinner tonight. That's okay. And I said, of course it is. He came over. He took us out to this big Mexican restaurant. Said, buy anything you want. Told the kids, buy anything you want. So we chit-chatted while we had a meal and was walking back out to the car leaving. And I felt a little tug on my shirt pocket, like you'd hook your finger in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, he slipped something in my pocket between the building and the car in the parking lot. And I wanted to look and see so bad.
I bet.
But I didn't. Anyway, he took us on back home. We fellowshipped a little while. And then we left his place to come back to ours. So on the way to the car, I looked, and it was exactly $500.
Praise the Lord.
Plus, he spent about $50 on our meal that night. Praise God. But he was obedient to the Lord. He wasn't prompt, but he obeyed God. And see, many times, especially where money is concerned, people will ignore that voice from the Lord when they'll say, give somebody $20. And it'll just rise up inside of you. And people say dumb things like this. Wonder why I thought that.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you why you thought that. The Spirit of God is trying to use you to help meet someone else's needs. And it's easy for you to push that aside. And let me just teach you something right here. If you keep pushing that aside, and you keep pushing that aside, pretty soon he won't keep coming back to you because he knows you're going to ignore him. You're not going to obey that. If you will obey the Spirit of God when he tells you to do something monetarily, you'll find out that you'll have more live experiences with the Spirit of God in other areas of your life.
Okay.
Because many times when people disobey God where money is concerned, he'll quit using them. But when he tells you to give somebody a certain amount of money and you obey him, the next time that he wants somebody to go lay hands on somebody that's dying, who do you think he's going to call on to go? The guy that wouldn't give $20 or the one that gave $500? So there's a lesson to be learned here, and a lot of people don't realize that. Anyway, I got $500, praise God. And I say that just to say this to you. God knows what's going on in your life, and he's concerned about it. And he'll meet you wherever you are and whatever your need is. He will meet you in that and try to get it to you if you'll just work with him. If you'll trust him and believe him, he'll do that, praise God.
Amen.
I remember one morning when I was going to school, and the car that I had, we had a Vega, a 74 Vega, I think it was, something like that. And it just stopped. And there we were out there in that town, and I didn't know doodly squat about where anybody was. I had a brother-in-law out there. My son went to the telephone to call him to get him. And while he was gone, I was just standing there with the car. And I was praying in tongues. And I said, Lord, show me what's wrong with this car. And I just kept praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, in my spirit, I don't know if y'all know what this is or not, but I saw a distributor on top of a car engine. I saw that in the spirit. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. I mean, that's all he showed me. And what I did then, I quit praying and raised the hood and popped the cap off of the distributor. And a wire had come loose inside the distributor, just a little piece of wire. So I just put it back where it went and tightened up the screw and the car cranked right up. So, see, we think about things being supernatural when somebody's raised the dead or something like that they've heard about somewhere. But everything that God does is supernatural. People are looking for the spectacular instead of the results that God wants to get. Everything he does is spectacular.
Amen.
He's working to your benefit when he tells you to give somebody $100 because he's wanting to get you in a position where he can bless you more than you're presently being blessed. Praise God. And things like that are just everyday things. But these are important things because we're everyday people and we live everyday lives. I remember we'd gotten back home. And I was working on this job, a construction site, and I had a back injury. And it was a terrific one. I hurt all the time, standing up, sitting down, lying down. I hurt. And I was reading over there in Luke, and the Lord showed me something in there. You remember where he barred Peter's boat and said, launch out over here? Well, that's what I was studying. And then something just clicked in my spirit, and he showed me something I'd never seen before. First, he told Peter what to do. And Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night and hadn't caught a thing. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And so they launched out there, praise God. And what happened? They've outsunk the boat and caught so many fish. Well, I was laying there in that bed reading that Bible, and he showed me that. And I was really excited. I was really excited. And here's what I heard in my spirit. He said, why don't you take what I just showed you and apply it to your back? And here's what my reaction was. Praise God. Why didn't I think of that? That's exactly what my response was. Praise God. And I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I was laying there in the dark, and I said, I'd already turned off light. And I said, I'm going to do exactly what you just showed me. I'm going to sit up in this bed. I'm going to throw back the cover. I covered each detail. And I said, then I'm going to lay my hands on my back, and I'm going to receive my healing. Praise God. And I was excited, I'll just tell you. And so that's what I did. I said what I was going to do. I did what I said I was going to do. And here's what happened. I sat up in bed. I laid my hands on my back. And the anointing of God came down through me and started right up here in my arms. And started you could just feel the heat going out of my arms, down to my hands, and going into my back. And where it went into my back, it was like molasses or something, slow moving. And it wasn't hot, but it was really warm. And I could just feel it sliding down my back like that. And everywhere that heat went, the pain left. When it got down to the bottom of my back, I was completely cured, completely healed on the spot. And it didn't take, the whole process didn't take 2 minutes, praise God. So, see, God honors his word. And anytime I was talking to you about the Spirit talking to you about money, but anything that the Spirit prompts you to do, if you will be obedient, you will see results. And most of the time, it's right away. Not always instant, and I'm not saying that, but it will be there. I mean, I could have chose not to say that. I could have been one of those that said, wonder why I thought I was talking that about old Peter. Why didn't I do that in my mind? I'd have never thought that. But the Spirit of God, and he knew I was a dummy, I guess. And it came as a revelation to me. Because, I mean, I knew about healing and I knew about faith, but I hadn't done anything about it. And the true test of faith is you will act on the word. Brother Smith Wigglesworth used to say, faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. That's what he would say all the time. And see, that quick revelation and the Spirit of God speaking that to me, when I was obedient to that, the anointing of God started to flow right then. And it just started up through here and just came down and flowed right into my body. I mean, now that is supernatural. There's nothing that you see, but there's something that you feel. And you know the results have come when all the pain's gone.
Absolutely.
And my back was totally healed, and there was no pain at all back there, praise God. So the reason I'm telling you things like this is because you don't have to be trying to conquer the world and have this big, gigantic request before God will come on the scene. God is in you. If you're born again, there's a well of water inside of you that's already sprung up in everlasting life, praise God. And when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then the endowment of power has come to rest inside your spirit. So God is with you all the time. God inside minded, God conscious. And you need to be aware of that all the time. He's in there, praise God. You don't have to try to find him somewhere to get him to do something. He said he's waiting for the words to come out of your mouth that he can honor so it will glorify Jesus. That's what this thing is all about. That's his job, is to come and help us and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that through the works that he performs in us and through us to other people, praise God. Am I taking too long?
Praise the Lord, the preacher's own brother Gary.
No. You go as long as you want to go.
It's just, the thing I'm trying to show you is that God's concerned about the little things. If it's a problem for you, it's his problem too. I don't care how little it is or how big it is. He's the God that's more than enough. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All of that is available inside of you, praise God. And many times, because we're so fleshly, worldly minded, we're not spiritually in tune. And for that reason, we won't just turn to God and start quoting scripture and apply it against whatever the problem in our life happens to be at that time. But I want you to see that God is available all the time. He's not a part-time God, praise God. He's in there with you. The anointing of God's in you. That means the ability of God is in you at all times.
If I could, Poppy, I want to ask a question.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And you might have just given me the answer. When was the very first time that you felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to act on something? Was it that time you prayed for your back, or was it another time?
Oh, no, it was for that. He's prompted me just by something popping up in my spirit like that.
Yeah.
Probably over money than anything else. And I don't know why that is. I remember one night we were missing a neighborhood church, and the pastor was about to close. And they were going to receive an offering just before they closed, for the service. And he said, everybody just bow your heads and I'm praying and we'll dismiss after this. So I just bowed my head and of course everybody else did too. And he was just starting to pray and I was listening to the prayer. And inside of me, I heard, give him $5. Well, I knew the guy sitting beside me. And that's what I heard. Give him $5. And I thought, $5? what good would $5 do? You know,
okay.
You know, if he'd said 50, I wouldn't have thought anything about it. But he said, give him $5. So I reach in my pocket and get my bill phone, and the prayer's still going on. And I had a $5 bill. God won't ever tell you to do something you can't do. I pulled $5 out of my pocket, and then I just took my elbow and just nudged him. And he had his eyes closed because he was listening to the prayer too. And when he raised his head, I just stuck my hand over there and gave him that $5 bill. Didn't say a word, just dropped my head and closed my eyes back. And he took it. Well, after the pastor dismissed the service, he turned over there to me and said, you know what? He said, I was sitting over there praying. Besides you, I was sitting right there praying. And he said, I told the Lord, he said, Lord, I really love you. And he said, if I had anything, he said, I would put it in that offering. He said, but I don't have anything to give. He said, I was just going to put this pencil in there. But I'm just telling you, if I had any money, I'd put it in that offering.
Wow.
And he said, just as I said, that's the Lord, you jabbed me in the ribs. And was handing me a $5 bill. I'll tell you, I don't care if he tells me to give somebody 25 cents, bless God, I'm going to do it, because that was a blessing to that guy, because he took that and put it right in that offering plate, just like he'd offered it to God. And that was probably the biggest offering that went in that church that night. Oh, somebody might have put $1,000 in, but that was the best offering right there. That's like the lady that gave all that she had. Well, he gave all that he had.
Amen.
Praise God. So,
amen.
Listen, you can't get away from God. He's everywhere. If you'll just listen, I'm telling you, you know, there's a scripture that tells you, it says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And the number one way that God leads his children and directs his children, and I almost said talk, so that, but it's not talking. The number one way he leads a born-again believer is by what the Word calls the inward witness. The inward witness is a knowing in your spirit. If I had time, I could teach you something about the spirit. But a lot of people don't even know they're a spirit being, praise God. But for those of you that do, what you'll do, you'll get a little nudge in your spirit. Or you'll get a little thought, and it'll just keep kind of nudging against you inside there. And it's the Spirit of God wanting you to listen to him, because the Holy Spirit is located in your spirit. So when he speaks, it's going to be in your spirit that you hear, or when he bears witness with your spirit, it's going to be inside your spirit that you know these things. This is what he devised it, praise God. That's why when you get one of these people to say, wonder why I thought that. You know, I thought about giving somebody $100, and I said, I don't have $100. Wonder why I thought that. That's why I said, God don't ever tell you to do something you can't do. If God tells you to give $100, you've got access to $100. And if you say otherwise, you're not telling the truth, praise God. God won't tell you to give somebody $500 if you don't have a $200. So whatever he tells you, know this now, you can get it. You can get it into your hand, and you can obey God. And there is such a blessing in that. Giving is a blessing. Do you know that in the average church, only 20% of the members pay tithes? 20? I mean, that's on a national scale in this country. Only 20% of the people in church that are members pay tithes. They take the expenses from the other 80%, praise God. And see, that's not God's plan. That's not his plan for the best. He said, if you will give, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. That's the way money is going to come to you. It's through men in this earth, because that's where all of the money is, in this earth. When God built this thing and stocked it with animals and minerals and gold and silver and cattle and everything else, he did it for Adam. He did all this, and then he put Adam on it, praise God. All this is made for the born-again believer, and you've got access to it. But it all comes by faith. You have to get in the Word So you'll have faith for it. You can't just do it because you heard it one time. You have to get the Word of God. Everything in your life has to evolve around the Word of God, and you have to always keep putting the Word of God inside of you because it's the source of your faith. So then faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That hearing comes only by the Word of God. So faith only comes by you hearing the Word of God. So if you got a, depending on your need, if it's healing, you go to healing scriptures. That's what you put in your spirit. That's what you, well, how did I put it in my spirit? You open your mouth and you say it out loud where you can hear yourself say it. And it causes a transfer of the faith of God to be deposited in your spirit when you do that. You're building faith into your spirit for healing as you do that. You do it over and over and over and over. And, so, and you might have to do it 2 or 3 times a day for 6 months. But if you will do that, that's the process. Faith comes that way. And see, faith is the coin of the realm, praise God. It takes faith in the kingdom of God. It takes faith to get anything because God has ordained that the just shall live by faith. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, I was just thinking while you were talking, you mentioned the inward witness. And we have a recent episode where we were talking about how different people hear from God. And much like what you said, for me, it all started with the inward witness. And praise God, it hasn't stopped.
And it won't. And it won't.
And then gradually he started showing me things, images that he would start showing me that then there would be a corresponding message with. So how would you say predominantly, Mr. Gary, Miss Martha, how has the Lord spoken to you predominantly? Has it been the inward witness? Do you hear things? Have you heard the audible voice of God? Has he shown you visions, images, anything like that?
It's been a conglomerate of all, of just about all of that, but the primary way above all the others and is the inward witness. That's in the Word, praise God. That's not going to change. He's going to always lead you by the inward witness. And in certain cases, he'll add something to that. Sometimes you'll get a picture in your spirit. I mean, literally, you close your eyes, it's like you're looking at a TV screen. And other times, it comes as just a knowing. I know that I know that I know. It's that real inside of you. And at other times, it's so soft and gentle, you could ignore it and just totally miss it.
Just think it's yourself. Think it's your own own thoughts.
Yeah, you'll think it's your own thoughts.
You'll say, is this me? Is this just me, Lord? Is this you?
Yeah.
Or is this you?
Do you have any stories of times that you thought, Miss Martha, that maybe it was just you and it turned out you took that step and you found out it was definitely God?
Yeah, lots of times because I'm a mother and I moved by my children a lot when they were young and things would happen and I'd think, is that just me? Is that the Lord or what? But I always tell my kids, you know, be careful where you go and what you do, because I will know, because the Lord will tell me. And I believe that he would tell me if they were in danger, if they were in mischief that they shouldn't be in.
And you alluded to a story earlier about something kind of like that. You mentioned they got some toys that weren't toys
oh,
once.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
My mother had a friend who owned a toy store in a neighboring town, a big toy store. And so mother would go over there and buy stuff for the children at Christmas time. And they had an Ouija board, a Ouija board. And it's like a game. It's presented as a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Parker Brothers. And it's put out as a game. And so she bought them one. And so we got to messing around with that. And you could ask that thing things, and you would get answers off of it. And it was frightening. So I told the kids, well, that's, no, we're going to get rid of it. We're not giving it away. We're going to get rid of it. I just don't believe it's right. And then later on, and down the road, we did learn that it was wrong. That that is wrong. A spirit gets involved with that thing.
And see, the way she's talking about that, I mean, she just picked up in her spirit that that was not of God.
That's right. Sure.
You can get a stop and a go sign in your spirit. It's a check.
Yeah.
That's what I call it too, checks.
If you get a check in your spirit, just don't proceed. You just stay right there, praise God.
So we did. We got rid of the thing. And I repented of it. I repented of it. But there's a lot of people out there in the world that's hooked up on these things. Well, they don't know. Nobody tells it.
They do not know.
They don't know. And not only Ouija boards, it's, you know, it's other things too. But by that being presented as a game, deception. Look at the innocence.
Sure.
Deception. Sure. Yeah.
The innocence that get involved with it.
You can rest assured, though, the way the Lord's going to deal with you more than any other way is going to be by that inward witness. I mean, that's just a fact, praise God. Now, people's always quoting, well, the Lord said, you know, and I don't know if they know the voice of the Lord or not, and you don't either. So, check it out. If it's some screwball something, just disregard it. If it lines up with the written word of God, you can accept it. You can accept it then. But people talk about hearing the voice of God, and many of them have never really heard it. They've experienced the inward witness, and some have heard that small, still voice. Now it's coming from the Holy Spirit, mind you. But it's what you're hearing is the voice of your spirit. We call it conscience, the voice of your spirit. But it's coming from the Holy Spirit. But that's the way it comes to you. It's in your spirit. And that's how you know that you're hearing from the Lord. But there is that voice is in there, and you can disregard that voice or you can listen to it either way. But, If you will listen to that, then he can take you on into things like prophecy or tongues and interpretation and those type things. But you have to respond to what, you know, that unction that he gives you in there. And sometimes like he did with me, he dropped in my spirit and said, why don't you apply what I've just showed you to your back condition? And I heard that it was just as clear as can be, but it wasn't the audible voice of God is what I want you to understand. This is all going on inside your spirit, praise God.
It's an all-knowing. You know that you know that you know.
I've never, there's only one time that I know of that I actually heard the audible voice of the Lord.
Will you tell that story, Poppy?
Yeah, I'll tell you that. My dad was in the hospital in Charleston, and the doctors had already said he'd be dead in a few hours. So my wife and I, we were living in Florence at the time, and we drove down to Charleston. That's where he was in the hospital. And we went down there, and then we went on up the room. But on the way down there, we got to talking about that, and we knew that we were going to pray for him when we got down there. I mean, he was dying. I mean, let's just face it, he was dying. And I think we said something about, well, we didn't have any oil, and you said, well, we'd find a nurse and get something or like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got down there, and I had a brother was there waiting. And we spoke for just a minute, and then we went on up. And we got to the room, and they wouldn't let but one person go into the room. And it just so happened that outside the room was a little sitting area. So Martha waited out there right outside the door, and I went in. And when I went in there, he looked like he was from Mars. They had so many tubes hooked to him. And he was discolored. I mean, it looked like death was on him, just to tell you the truth. It was. But I was determined that I was going to pray for him. So I walked up there by that bed, and as I stood there, I'll be honest with you, I was crying. The tears were just flowing, and I couldn't help it, praise God. But I took my hands. Oh, Martha found a nurse. She got a nurse and got some kind of a lotion, with an oil-based lotion, and she gave that, and I took that in there with me, and I anointed him with that, whatever it was, praise God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I laid my hands on him like that. I just caught his arm there and there, and laid my hands on his arm like that. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And there was a hesitation on my part. I stood there, because I thought I heard something. And I stopped it to listen. And I heard one word. He said, command. 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 And it got so powerful, it felt like the whole room was vibrating under the force of those words that was coming out. And I'd never experienced that before. But I was right there in that place in my prayer, and I just stopped and started over, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed. And when I did, that same anointing that I felt before, it started right here again, right about my elbows. That anointing started about my elbows and started just slowly moving down my arms and out my hands and into my father's body right there. And it just slowly did that, just slowly. And once it all left me and went in him, I knew that he was healed. You might ask me, well, how do you know? I knew inside, in my spirit, praise God. I knew that his body was healed, praise God. As a matter of fact, that's what I told Martha when I walked through the door out there. I said, he's healed. He's healed, praise God. So we went back downstairs where the family was. But what I want you to say, let me tell you this while I'm right there, though. What I want you to say, I wanted to say to you about hearing an inward witness or hearing that small, still voice or hearing the audible voice of God. When you hear the audible voice of God, make no mistake about it, you'll know it's the audible voice of God. Because it... power don't begin to describe the awesomeness of the Word of God when he's really speaking it out, praise God. It just I had never experienced anything like that in my life. And I've never experienced it since. That's the one time in my life that happened. But so when people start telling you that the Lord said and the Lord said and the Lord said, they need to be more specific. You know, if they're sharing it with somebody.
Sure.
If they're just talking with friends that know what's going on, that's fine. But there is an audible voice of God, and then there's that small, still voice that you hear inside your spirit. And then the most usual way that you'll get directions or leading from God is going to be by the inward witness. That's what the scripture teaches that. That's the primary way. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. That's the way you're going to be led most of the time, unless it's an unusual situation, like I just shared with you, and God gives you some additional instructions. I mean, I need to go in there and lay hands on him, and I was doing that, but he just eased right in there and told me to use the word command when I was praying. And when he did, it was awesome. But we went back downstairs to where the family was, and we stayed about maybe 10 minutes. And I talked to my brother and a couple of uncles, but to make a long story short, I told my brother, I said, well, when he comes through, you can let me know. We left because we knew that God had moved, you know.
Did your brother and the rest of the family receive that, or were they still skeptical?
I didn't wait to find out.
Okay.
I said, when he comes to, you just call me and let me know. And we left. We turned around and left right after that. I don't know. What was it? It was a few days. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. They discharged him from the hospital. And he lived another 10 years.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's important that you obey God.
It's important that you tell them, too, that several years after that, when we went over to his house, we were just visiting around. We came but went to Lancaster, and we went by what he told you.
Okay. Yeah, this was after he'd been home for, I don't know, maybe a year later.
Several years.
Anyway, my dad wanted to talk to me about what he had experienced in the hospital when he was down there. And I said, well, just tell me, Daddy. That'll be fine. He said, the reason I hadn't told anybody this, he said, they might think I'm crazy. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Tell me, and if I think you're crazy, I won't say a word. How about that?
That's fair.
he chuckled. He said, okay. And he's told me, he said, I was lying there in that bed, and the doctors were standing there by the bed talking to me, talking to each other about me. And he said, the next thing I knew, he said, I was up there near the ceiling looking down at them by my bedside.
Huh.
And he said, my body was still lying there in the bed, and they were standing there by my body talking about me. And said, I was up there around the ceiling. And he said, I just was floating around up there. And he said, I did that off and on there for a couple of days. He said, I just leave my body. He said, then I'd come back, and then I'd leave it again. I kind of laughed. I said, well, I don't think you're crazy. Because he wasn't crazy. But see, that's how close to death he was.
Sure.
That's how close to death he was, praise God.
And he heard what you said when you commanded that body. He heard it. Mr. Carnes did. He heard it.
Mm. So he was there in the room. He had left his body, and he saw what was going on below while you were casting that sickness out of his body.
It wasn't at that time.
This was a
couple of other times.
Okay,
that he had left his body, but he didn't know what was going on, and he couldn't ask anybody because he thought if he started telling them stuff like that, they would think he was losing his mind. He was really concerned about that.
And, I understand.
You can't tell everybody something like that. They'll think you're squirrely.
Sure.
But that's just the way it is. But when we die, that was the spirit man floating around up there near the ceiling. That was the real man up there. That body was just the house he was living in. He was still in the bed down there. And see, he experienced there what he would eventually experience when his body died and he left it. Except he wouldn't be floating around there. He'd be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, see? So it's not really strange at all. But it's because we just don't, the church as a whole does not think in terms of being spirit beings who have a soul and who live in a body. But the day you got born again, the Spirit of God did an overhaul on you and made you a new creation. He took that old nature of Satan that was in you and that still is in every person in the earth that has never been born again. I don't care if it's that grandmother that you love dearly. If she don't know Jesus as her Lord, when she dies, she is bound for hell. There is no other way. You've got to have Jesus to have access to the Father. You've got to have Jesus to have eternal life in the presence of the Father. Praise God.
I know later on you and Nanny would go to start your church called Love's Outreach. Would you tell us some stories about things that God used y'all to do in the church as individuals or as a team?
You want to tell him, Austin?
Well, I remember one night at Love's Outreach, Gary was going to minister to anybody who had a need. And this man came up, and he was having back problems bad. So I was there up there with Gary on the platform. And inside of me, the Spirit said, he's got one leg shorter than the other. That's why his back hurts. So I told Gary what the Lord had said. So Gary said, bring me a chair from down there. Bring me a chair up here. Sat him down, put his feet up, and it was visible. You could see there was a shortness. So I just ministered to him, commanded that foot to grow out and be the same as the other one in the name of Jesus. And we saw it shift right on out. And at first I thought, no, that's the wrong one because it's longer. And I said, Lord.
So the longer foot was the one that started growing, the longer leg.
Be careful what you ask for.
But the Lord adjusted it. I said, Lord, you're doing the wrong one. You don't tell the Lord.
That was the funniest thing you have ever seen.
But it just shocked me.
That was a miracle of God taking place right before our eyes. And Martha said, no, it's the other one, Lord. It's the other one.
But he made the adjustment, and the man's back was better. You know, he got much better.
Well, I had those hands in my feet. I had him sitting down and his legs stretched out with his back up against the back of the chair. And I was had his heels resting in my hand. And in that position, everybody out sitting down, I could see that one was longer than the other one, just like you can see my hands right there. Well, when she started to praying, the short one didn't grow out. The long one grew longer like that. And that's what she said, But we just waited a second. And as soon as that one, I mean, he didn't say zip. It was just very gradual like that. And as soon as that long one grew longer and stopped, then the short one started to grow. And it went right out exactly even with the other one and stopped.
Well, praise God. That brother had to buy some new pants or let some hems out.
I'm telling you.
Adjust his shoes.
So did he walk with a noticeable limp? Was there any way in the natural you could have noticed that his leg was shorter? Or was that just no way of you knowing, and it was just that inward witness speaking to you?
I didn't know what. He complained with his back hurting. And it was because that leg was not, he was not level.
Mm. Well, Martha was used a good bit in a word of knowledge, for those of you that know what a word of knowledge is. But
would you define that for us, please, for those that don't know?
Yeah, that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And it's one of those the category that's in is like, it's revelation gifts. And it normally operates in the office of a prophet and also in an evangelistic office to some degree. But and it's defined by when that gift is in manifestation, then that word of knowledge pertains to anything from the past up till the present time. And if the word that the Lord gives you in that word of knowledge is future, it's no longer a word of knowledge, then it becomes a word of wisdom if it points to the future or it directs to the future. And the Lord used Martha in the word of knowledge quite regularly. I mean, she would just know things about people sitting out there in the audience. And what I would do, time for the service is just about in, I would just look over there at her, and if she had anything in her spirit, she'd nod her head and I just call her up, and she'd start ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. That's what happened to this guy with the short leg. That's exactly how that came about. She knew it supernaturally through the operation of the word of knowledge. Praise God.
Amen.
Supernatural manifestation of the gifts. Praise God.
Because I had not paid any attention to him, you know.
Sure,
It's just, you. And see, the person that the Lord uses in the manifestation of the gifts, the person don't operate the gifts. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who manifests the gifts. Nobody has the gift of healing. If somebody is being used by the Spirit of God to heal somebody, people will say, well, he's got the gift of healing, but he don't. The Holy Spirit is the one that operates the gifts. And you can't turn it off, and you can't turn it on. He does it. It's a supernatural manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit, in operation. And that's the very things that was operating through her like that.
I'm going to change the subject.
Okay.
You know, not only is our Father so concerned about everything about our lives, what we need, what we love, everything. When we lived in Great Falls for a short while after we came back from Tulsa, there was a little boy there, and he would hear Gary speak when his mother would have meetings sometimes at her house, and we would go and Gary'd minister. And he believed what Gary said. And so he called him one day, I was at work, and told him he wanted to come out to his house and minister to his dog. What was exactly wrong with his Tommy's dog?
He was dragging his back legs. He couldn't walk. He was dragging his back legs.
Yeah, it was his legs. And he wanted the Lord to minister to his dog. Gary went out, talked to Tommy, prayed for the dog, ministered to him, and the Lord healed him. But see, the Lord's so good to us. He'll do things just so we'll see to boost our faith. Can you imagine what that did to that kid?
Absolutely. Faith?
He'll never forget that.
He'll never forget that.
As long as he lives.
And it's like that with anything, with another human being or anything. I've known people that wanted to buy a house and they really wanted it bad. And they would go out and have a particular house they wanted, and they would lay hands on that house and they would pray about it, and they'd start claiming it in the name of Jesus, and they wouldn't back off, and it would manifest. It would manifest.
Mm.
So there's all kind of things the Lord will do for us if we'll just have faith, and believe him for it.
Well, you were talking about Tom and his dog. Remember the little cat we had?
Oh, yeah. We got a kitty. She was just black as tar and had one little white tip on her tail. And so when she'd walk across the floor, she was Prissy, so I named her Prissy. Well, I had gone into Lancaster with Mama shopping one Saturday and came home. And Gary said to me, honey, I believe the kitty's deaf. Can't hear.
Yeah, but she couldn't hear. Would not respond to anything.
And so we started watching, and she couldn't. You could go up behind her and clap your hands. But anyway, Gary laid hands on her and ministered to her. And I want you to know those ears opened. And that hearing came to that cat.
Amen.
And she could hear to the day she left this world.
When I put her down, I clapped my hands right by her ear, and she took off.
So you knew.
You knew, yeah. So it's people want to put God in a box and say he just does this, this, or this.
No, you can't do that. People try to do that all the time. But listen, God's the one that's moving. People can't do it. A lot of times people will see a minister operate a certain way, and they'll try to imitate it. And sometimes you'll have somebody who has a healing ministry, and he'll try to minister when the anointing is not activated. And all he does is just make a show. You don't get any results that way. But when the Lord is manifesting his presence or his gifts or whatever, you'll get results, praise God, if you'll obey him.
Amen.
This happened down the same place where those things happened. There was a little group that they wanted me to be their associate pastor. I won't go into details why, but I said okay, and I was in that doing that. And once a month, they'd have all the Sunday school kids and the adults and everybody would come into the biggest room in the church and somebody would teach them. Well, I was the assistant pastor, so I was the one that was supposed to teach them. So I was up there that morning. And we had a pretty good little crowd. We might have had 40 people that morning. I don't know. And I was taking prayer requests. And this one guy, he raised his hand up back there. He just intruded. And he said, Brother Gary, would you please pray for me? He said, every joint in my body is swollen. He said, I got my shoes on. He said, I can't even tie my shoes on my feet. And he said, I'm hurting in every joint of my body right now. Would you please pray? And before I could reply, Just that quick, Lord said, call him out and I'll heal him. Just like that, call him out and I'll heal him. So I said, Brother Carroll, can you get out to the end of the aisle there? And I said, just go ahead and start. And I was up front, and I walked back, and I met him just as he got to the end of the aisle. And I just barely got my hand on him and said, in the name of, I don't think I even finished it. Just as soon as I did that, every joint said, all the pain was gone. The Lord healed him instantly on the spot right there, praise God.
Did that feel the same way the other times the Holy Spirit had used you to heal people? Did you feel that heat start again?
No. You can't get hung up on feelings. You get hung up on obedience to the Word or to what you hear the Spirit say to you. Either one. Obedience is key to that.
And Mr. Carroll, that he prayed for, he told this one Wednesday night. He wanted to receive the Holy Spirit speaking tongues. And he'd been out hunting this particular day, hunting. And he was up in a tree. It must have been deer because he was up in a tree and received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, sitting up there in that hunting position.
Probably scared every deer off 10-mile radius.
Most likely.
I know when we were going to Oklahoma and we had that Vega, we pulled a U-Haul behind us, and it was crammed full. The car was full except we could get two kids and a dog in there. And we were going up. The part of our trip that was the hardest was in North Carolina, when you're going through those mountains there of North Carolina. It was way over in the morning. And the children were asleep, and we started up this particular mountain. And I thought that U-Haul was going to pull the Vega back down the mountain. I said, honey, we got to pray. I could get out here and outrun this thing.
I had to go back to first gear.
We had some first more experiences.
Gear. Boom. And we might have been running 9 miles an hour.
It was something else. I could 10
miles an hour, something like I'm sure nobody was riding behind you. I'm sure everybody
was. No, it was way over in the morning.
No, yeah, it was over in the a.m. of the morning.
Okay.
It was dark. But we had some good times, some scary times, but the Lord was always there.
Yeah, praise God.
Well, Miss Martha, I am just loving hearing stories of the Holy Spirit team. Of you and Mr. Gary. Now, I know that probably couldn't have been that common in that era, women ministering. Did you ever run into any situations like that? Or what was it that prompted you to have the boldness and the confidence in an era where, you know, I think we can say
sure.
In America in that time, the predominant notion was that women can't minister. What was it that gave you the boldness and the confidence to minister?
It was the Holy Spirit. He'll give you that boldness.
And we also, most of what we ministered in and around was either Pentecostal people or charismatic people.
Yeah, you know, people that were hungry.
The traditional churches would not ask people like us to come and speak because we'd cut across some of their teachings, and you know, you don't want to do that. So,
well, I was born in that little town. I joined the First Baptist Church when I was 10 and was baptized. I thought I was born again, but I wasn't. I was a child, and I really didn't know till later on in life, you know. But it was an experience. I got baptized, you know. But they would never have received us.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
And you run into that even in full gospel churches, depending on which branch of it you're around, because, you know, they have a lot of tradition in some of the Pentecostal churches, and they're not very flexible. Now, they've come a long way now. A lot of them have, but they used to have some rigid rules. I don't want to be critical, but a lot of it, they were just natural, man-made rules. They weren't from the new covenant or anything like that. But that's what they practice in their belief.
I know when we started finding out about the things of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and such. I thought, oh Lord, what is going to do? What is this going to do between me and my mom and dad? Because they were Baptists. And I thought, what is this going to do? It's going to separate us. So I knew I was going to have to tell them. So we went home one weekend, and I was talking to my daddy. And he said, well, I always knew there was more. There was something else. There was more that I was receiving at the Baptist church. And he had been going out to these other little churches where it was full gospel. And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He didn't know how he's going to tell the rest of us. And my mother, she didn't have a problem. She just fell right in.
Since you're talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, you remember the night we went to that African-American church down in Columbia? Glorious Friend.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I taught them down there that night, was how to receive the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we didn't know anything about the church. We got an invitation, and we took it and went. Because as soon as the pastor asked me to come, as soon as he asked, just that quick, I knew in my spirit what I was going to talk on. It was just activated in my spirit like that. And I said, yeah, we'll come. So what I want to tell you is, that's what I taught on how to receive the Holy Spirit. I laid out the scriptures and the whole bit. And finally, I got around to said, everybody that wants to receive the Holy Spirit, just come down front. Just line up across front. And I don't know how many people, 15.
A lot.
18, 20, something. You know, something like that. And so I had to get, there was kind of a tall stage. I had to get down and go down there. And I was instructed. I instructed the whole church, and then when I got down there, I would instruct the individual that I was about to lay hands on him. Because if you don't give people instruction, they just stand there. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to expect.
Sure.
And so I would just take the time and just go tell them. It didn't take long. I just tell them, and I'd say, now when I lay hands on you, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And the first time I ever said that, I knew it didn't come out of my mind. He just, like that. And I thought about that. I said, Lord, is that all right for me to say that? So I didn't hear no. So I said, when I lay hands on you, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And if you'll listen on the inside and try to repeat, it won't sound nothing that your mind understands, but just open your mouth and make the sound. As I was instructed and like that, and everybody that I laid hands on, they'd start talking in tongues. This young lady, she's 13 or so, not over 14, but I'd say 13, and she was kind of walking down the aisle there talking in tongues. She was in the back of the church, and she was walking down to the front, and she was talking in tongues. And she got down there where we were, she said, what is that?
That's great.
The Lord baptized her with the Holy Spirit while she was walking down the aisle coming to the front.
Oh my gosh.
But I'll tell you, when I finished that message and I invited anybody that wanted to receive the Holy Spirit to come forward, I knew it wasn't this long, but it felt like it was 5 minutes before anybody moved. It was just nothing. And finally, when one person moved, then all those other people came then.
Well, it's like that with salvation, too.
That's
people
true. That's true.
Let somebody else go first.
But what I want to tell you, out of all that bunch, everybody that night received the Holy Spirit except one lady. And come to find out, she wasn't born again. It was a good night. That was a good night.
You know, praise God. Just praise the Lord, because when all of this happened to us, we took Chris out of a church that he loved, and we didn't know how he would be affected. And the Lord just moved him right on in there and baptized him in the Holy Ghost. He was born again. And the first time I heard him speak in tongues, he sounded like a Chinaman. You know, he sounded like a Chinese. I think, whoa. Sherry, she came right along, too. She was a little bit more hesitant than he was. But she was young.
Mm-hmm.
She was younger than him. But I praise the Lord and I thank him so much that when he moved one of us, he moved all of us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I was the last one in the family to receive the Holy Spirit.
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, he labored. He labored. I'd look and he was at that altar. It came easy with me.
So many times people are given invitations to come to receive the Holy Spirit when they haven't taught anything about the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's just like it's an afterthought. And that's not the way you do. You have to teach people's. Faith comes by hearing the word, praise God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you want people to receive the Holy Spirit, teach on the Holy Spirit. If you want people to start tithing, teach on tithing, whatever it is. Get the scripture and teach on it, praise God. And it'll produce faith in their spirit. And they can believe God for things then. Man, I forgot about that church down in Columbia. That was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
They had problems in there, and I didn't know that in this area that I was teaching. They had some people in there that had received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues the night they received and had never spoken in tongues since. You know, sometimes you get some teachings that aren't correct when it comes to some things like that. There's people that the only time they talk in tongues is when they get excited during the praise and worship. You know, they think that's the Spirit of God moving on them, but it's not. And what I would do with the people is when they received the prayer language and started praying in tongues, I'd say louder, louder, louder. And then I would just say, now stop. And as soon as they stopped, I'd say, now start up again. And they didn't have time to think about anything. And then they'd stop and start back. And I said, now the reason I did that is because, see, you've already experienced what I'm going to tell you. You can pray in tongues anytime you want to, and you can stop and start anytime you want to.
Amen.
You don't have to have a move of God to move upon you to pray in tongues like some people think you do. And I would do that on purpose so that when they left, they would know that they had a prayer language. They would know they could stop and start anytime they wanted to pray, praise God. And I encouraged them to pray. I think back then when I say, just pray an hour a day for the next week, you'll get a good flow going. And you will. I don't care what age you are, how long you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Most of us do not pray in tongues enough. And that's why our spirit is not sensitive enough to pick up on so much of what the Spirit of God is trying to do through us. If our spirit was more in tune with God and sensitive to the movings of the Holy Spirit, we'd know when he had an inward witness moving, or we'd know when he had an unction to open your mouth and speak to prophesy, or whatever. Talking about ways you hear the voice of the Lord. Sometimes when you don't have anything in particular. No notes or nothing. You're just talking freely, but things will just bubble up out of your spirit and you'll share them with people. I don't know if you can call it a word from the Lord, but that's what I would call it because it didn't come out of my mind. It popped up in my spirit, praise God. And a lot of people can be doing that. And this particular time, I was studying the word, and I can't even tell you the scripture. It was something there that I was questioning and that I didn't understand or something. And here's what happened like that. I heard Brother Hagin standing up in front of the school, and what he was saying was the answer to my question. It just like that, and it didn't last. It just lasted an instant. But I got the answer to that. Now, I don't think that happened to me but once. It could have happened twice. I'm not sure. So, the point is, don't try to lock the Spirit into anything, praise God. Just be open and willing and obedient and try to have a tender conscience, a very tender conscience, because your conscience is the voice of your spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he's passing that information along to you. And there's lots going on in there that we totally miss. We totally miss it because we're not sensitive enough to pick it up. And that's why praying in tongues is so important. Yeah, I know you're talking to God when you pray in tongues. But see, He's a helper. He's called alongside to help. A good meaning of that comforter is one called alongside to help, and to express the same thing another way is it, he comes up with whatever you take a hold of, he takes hold with you against that thing. And that's the meaning of that word comforter, praise God. So it's very important that we hear the voice of the Lord, that we understand the inward witness of the Lord. I keep saying this over and over. The primary way you're going to be led by the Spirit of God is by the inward witness. Don't let anybody ever try to, I don't care how much people have experienced. The experience is not the thing. You know, you can't take somebody else's experience and put it into operation. So you stay with the Word and the Spirit. And if somebody tries to give, speaking of staying with the Spirit, there's people that get excited about the things of the Spirit of God, and they prophesy in their church, and they think they're a prophet. They don't know what it takes to be a prophet, and they're not prophets, but they prophesy in church, which is perfectly normal. And they forever try to give you a word from the Lord, and it's no more from the Lord than it is from the ceiling up there, praise God. And it's just because they haven't been taught in those areas.
Mm.
And if you will pray in tongues, you will get farther along than any other way except meditating the Word and let the Spirit of God open the Word up to you. I tell you one time I tried this, and I did it for a long time. I'd go back there in the study, and I'd start praying in tongues. And while I was praying in, you know, after a while, if you pray in tongues long enough, your mind just gives up. You run over it so many times, and they don't know what's going on. Finally, your mind will just shut down. Well, when that happens, that's when you can just really flow in the things of God. You can just flow on in tongues, or if he's got something he's got to say to you, it's easy for you to hear it, praise God. It makes your spirit more sensitive to the things of God when you pray in tongues a lot.
So true. It's so good.
Some people think you only pray in tongues in church when you get excited. There's a lot of people, that's the only time they ever pray in tongues. And see, they're not taking advantage. To the church, that's the most precious gift that the Lord has given us is the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, praise God. Not enough is said about that. Not enough is taught from the pulpit about the things of the Spirit. And I've always had a great desire for those things. And I've heard a lot of things that I didn't like to hear. And I've heard a good bit of error. It's real. The spirit realm is real. It's more real than the natural physical realm is. And that's where God lives. And everything in that realm supersedes what's in this realm, praise God. We call it a miracle. But God can just, you know, he just manifests himself over here instead of over there.
That's why Scripture tells us to desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's for every believer. All these things are for every believer. Now, some of them may be hallmarked by certain ministers and certain offices, but all of these gifts are for every believer who has that indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, the thing with the tongues is you speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside you with that endowment of power. And you can pray. They're primarily as for your prayer language. Tongues are primarily for your prayer language, praise God, because that's when the Holy Spirit can help you. He gets you out of the way, and he gets the prayer through, praise God. But some people, they think because they have been used to pray in tongues during the assembly of the congregation, they get to thinking that because they have prophesied, that they're a prophet. And nothing could be farther from the truth. That prophecy and those tongues that he's talking about there in chapter 12, that he's talking about the order of service of believers when they come together in a meeting at the church. That's why he gives instruction on how many can give tongues, you know, and how many prophesy and all that. That has nothing to do with the nine gifts of the Spirit. two totally separate things entirely. I call that prophecy simple prophecy. I do that on purpose to make a distinction between the gift of prophecy in operation through somebody that's in fivefold ministry. Now, you have prophecy in the fivefold ministry, but it's not the same thing that you hear in the church for edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's not the prophecy that comes through the evangelist or especially the prophet, praise God. He is a prophet and been set in the office just like the pastor is a pastor has been set into the office by the Lord Jesus. And because you made an utterance in the church in tongues, don't mean you've been set in an office of ministry by the Lord Jesus. But people get that, they run it all together, you know, they get confused, praise God.
To elaborate a little more, how then would you specifically identify someone who is in the office of a prophet, not just who's being used by the Holy Spirit for the gift of prophecy, like you were saying in the church, but in the office? How would you know that?
That's a good question. First off, he's got to be a minister called to the ministry, because it's an office. God sets him in the office. Man, that's not a man-made thing. It's a supernatural setting in the body of Christ. When Jesus gave gifts, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Jesus set those gifts in the church. No man can appoint anybody to an office in the church except Jesus, because he is the head of the church. People try, but it's a mess. But first of all, a prophet is set in the office of the prophet by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a full-time minister, ministering for the Lord. And the prophet's office has designation of gifts that apply to it. Out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, in order to be to operate in the office of prophet, one has to have at least 2 of the revelation gifts plus prophecy to operate in the prophetic office. 2, and when I say that, I mean the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or discerning of spirits. Of those 3 revelation gifts, a prophet has to have 2 of them in continual manifestation with the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is there so they can deliver these other things through that gift. A lot of times, 2 gifts work together. You can have a word of knowledge and prophecy going at the same time, praise God, because the word of knowledge is to tell somebody something. So he uses prophecy for you to tell them by the unction of the Spirit. So that's what it takes. Now, and there's a lot of error in this area. I'll be honest with you. There is a lot of error. I mean, people that are in the ministry, full gospel ministry for years, and they don't know that about the prophet's office. There's not as many prophets out there as people think they are, as we like to be.
I know television, they'll come on, prophet so-and-so, prophet so-and-so, prophet so-and-so.
It's the gifts that establish the office. If somebody is in the office of the prophet and you spend much time around their ministry, what you will see a constant, not constant, but you'll see it, the gifts of the Spirit in operation again and again and again. And those gifts in operation will be 2 of the revelation gifts. And of course, prophecy goes with it. It don't matter which 2 you get. I think, this is my opinion now. That's what this is not scripture. This is my opinion. But I think you'll probably see the word of wisdom and prophecy and discerning of spirits. Because in the Old Testament, prophets were called seers. They could see things in the spirit realm. And see, when you've got a present-day prophet does the same thing. When that gift of discerning of spirits is in operation, and people think they have a gift of discernment because they're kind of nosy. The gift is discerning of spirits. And when the gift of discerning of spirits is in operation by the Spirit of God in the office of a prophet, you will either, if it's discerning of spirits in the prophet's ministry operation, here's what takes place. You can have a vision and see something. You can actually have a vision within your own spirit. You can see it inside. That's probably the lowest kind of a revelation. But then you can fall into a vision like Peter did on the housetop. That is another type of in manifestation. And what happens when that happens is you lose all your relationship to the natural world where you're in. You only see what's going on in the spirit. And the Lord just moves you right down to what he wants you to see. And whatever it is he's telling you. But you can actually see into the spirit. You can say demonic spirits. If one's sitting on somebody's shoulder, you see him setting up there, praise God. And that one is called a vision. You can see into the spirit, but your senses, your physical senses are just turned off. You're not even aware of anything but spiritual things. And then there's another, and it's called an open vision. This is the highest type of a vision. And this one is just like you and I, and we're sitting here right now speaking. If the Holy Spirit started to manifest discerning of spirits, you would be able to see what you're seeing right now, plus into the spirit world at the same time. And now that's one of the highest manifestations of a vision right there.
So just to break that down a little more, to simplify what you just said, if that were going on, that highest form of a vision, I could be sitting here talking to you and I could see an angel right there while I'm seeing you, or a demon over there, or latched onto somebody, rather.
That's exactly right.
I'm aware of both realms, so to speak, at the same time.
Both realms at the same time. Yeah, yeah. You can see and hear. You can see and hear over there.
And discerning of spirits, that's not just evil spirits. That's angelic spirits. That's the Spirit of God. That's not purely demonic.
That's anything the Holy Spirit wants you to see.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's operating the gift. Sometimes he'll use that to get somebody delivered from an unusual possession, that a spirit's got a hold of somebody. And sometimes, I've heard Brother Hagin say this, that he's actually seen those things sitting on people's shoulders. And he just speak to it. Because in the spirit, there's no distance or anything else. He speaks to it because he's in the spirit realm where that thing is. And that thing knows if he speaks to it in the name of Jesus, he'll have to go. So that's what he'll do. He'll just speak to that in the name of Jesus and tell it to get out of the man and get out of the building, praise God. And it'll happen. Now, the people sitting in there in the room with you, they don't know what's going on. They don't see and they don't hear what's going on over there because the Spirit is being manifested through the minister, see. But see, people have these crazy ideas about discerning of spirits. They think if they get an idea that so-and-so over there is doing something, a dirty, evil deed, they think they got discerning of spirits going. You don't realize that they don't have a gift of discerning of spirits. You don't have that gift. That's a gift that establishes an office that is operated by God, the Holy Spirit. The prophet can't turn it on and off. That's what people don't understand. When people find out somebody's a prophet, they're always going to him and wanting him to find out if he's got a word for them. Well, he's got a word for them, all right, but he'd have to repent if he gave it to them. And that's a fact. That is a fact. But it's that's a realm that other ministers don't normally operate in. Anybody can experience that as the Lord will, because the Holy Spirit's in charge of this, you understand? So any Christian could actually be used, and the Spirit of God could manifest that through them. I mean, after all, the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, you know? But there's a lot of confusion on that. And see, gifts established, for instance, I tell you that to establish the office of a prophet, they have to have at least two of the revelation gifts plus prophecy. And if you were in the office of the evangelist either has working of miracles or gifts of healings or both plus prophecy.
I have a follow-up question while we're talking about offices. Seeing as you are a minister, what office do you operate in?
The only thing that I know that I've ever operated in is a teacher.
Will you break that down?
Well, there's not a great deal to break. There's not a great deal to break down on it. When I first started noticing it, I mean, this was right after we got back home and we were going to some little various meetings around it, business and stuff like that. I'd study and I'd have notes. I'd have scriptural and little comments for the scriptures. You know, that way I wouldn't get sidetracked by being interrupted and, you know, whatever going on. And it's good to be prepared. But I'd be up there and I'd have my notes and I'd just be going away, praise God. And then all of a sudden I'd be done walked off and left my notes and the anointing would be on me and I'd just be, you know, it'd just be flowing out of me like that. You know, it wasn't something that I'd studied. It was present tense, flowing out of me. And it was live word of God, praise God.
And the people listening to him recognize it.
And finally, old slow me, I recognize it. If I'd stop and go back over there to my notes, and the anointing would wane. So I'd go ahead and start again. And I learned not to go back to the notes when that anointing was there and the flow was going. I learned not to go back to the notes. You just keep talking as long as the Spirit of God is doing that. You just keep talking.
So can you unpack that, flowing in the anointing? It's not something that I think I hear a lot of ministers talking about today.
You're right.
It feels like to step into the anointing, what it feels like when you realize you're stepping out of the anointing, what it's like when it just lifts out of nowhere, what it feels like when it just drops down. What unpack all that for us?
Well, it's easier to ask that question than it is to answer it, I'll tell you. like this one guy said, he called it the ointment, and the other preacher said, what in the world are you talking about? What are you talking about? You talk about the ointment. He said, I don't know what it is, but I know when it ain't. And he was talking about the anointing. There's anointing for every office of ministry. They're always a minister of the Word of God. I don't care what office they're in. They're a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they either preach or teach the Word, or both, no matter what office they're in. But the anointing can shift. There's some people that could be a pastor and be a preacher and could also have a teaching ministry too. You can actually be in more than one office at the same time. And you can flow between those two offices depending on what the Spirit of God is anointing you to do.
I've seen Gary start off teaching away. But yet I know when the anointing comes on, you can see it, you can sense it.
Yeah, if you're around somebody and you know a little bit about them and their ministry, You can pick up on. Well, listen, how do you know when the Spirit of God's starting to move while you're singing?
I know that I know in my spirit that's what He wants.
Okay.
And I know.
And how do you know it?
It is, I would describe it as this ultimate, somewhat peace, but at the same time, there is this joy and awesomeness that I know I'm where I'm supposed to be in that moment. Don't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Stay okay. Right there. Don't, I mean, and I mean nothing. You, if it's that, as simple as it sounds, if it's something, He's working in this chorus because somebody out there needs to hear it and He wants, and that's how He wants to operate.
Yep.
I know, okay, I don't care if it's 50 times until there's almost this, like Corey was saying, almost a lifting, you know, or a release from that moment.
Well there he is. The reason I said what I did, I asked you that question, is because everybody is familiar with that, unless they're in a dead church. I mean, I can sit here and watch Jimmy Swaggart on TV and sense the presence of God over here in his chair.
Absolutely.
And what you do sometimes during the meeting will determine whether the anointing stays or leaves. I mean, listen, you can...
Quenching?
Yes. You can actually do that, praise God. And some people, some ministers, they're people too, but they don't give a space when they're up front of the people. They don't give a space to do nothing and just wait on the Spirit of God. Now, some ministers, they'll get up there and pray, and they'll just ask the Holy Spirit to just come manifest the glory of Jesus or anything along that line. You know, they're asking him to show up, praise God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome, praise God. And when he shows up, you know he's there. He touches people's hearts, praise God. And it's not a physical feeling. It's not. It's strictly spiritual. It's spirit to spirit is what it is. Just like the revelation of the Word, his spirit from God the Holy Spirit to the spirit of man. You know when that's happening. You know when it's happening. Now, in ministry, sometimes, especially if the Lord's going to use you in the area of healing, he used Martha a lot with the word of knowledge and healing. But I have been ministering to people in the church. And when I'd lay hands on, you know what static electricity feels like?
Absolutely.
That I would get that sensation, but I would get I'd get a tingling right there. And it was almost like when you touch him, it was like that little static electricity that is created in the natural. It was something like that, you know. And the people you're laying hands on are aware that that's happening. Sometimes they'll receive it. Sometimes they won't receive it. When one service I remember, there was a lady. There was about five or six people standing up there. And it was just at the end of the service. And I didn't know what they wanted. You know, I didn't say it's healing or this for anything. I just opened the altar and they came. And I got to this one lady there and she wanted me to pray for her. And I think it was healing. I'm not sure. Anyway, I reached out my hand and then I just had to check in my spirit. I was that close to her. And in my spirit, I heard just one word, unforgiveness. And I just stepped up right close to her, by her ear. I wasn't talking to nobody but her. And I said, "Sister, the Lord just spoke a word to me when I was about to lay hands on you. And I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, unforgiveness." She just broke. Just turned into weeping, praise God. I mean, I knew I hadn't missed the Lord. And she even told me what it was. It's the way her son-in-law was treating her daughter. It was a big mess. But anyway, I laid hands on her. Then I laid hands on her after that. But some people have a healing ministry. It's not the gift of healings that it's in the nine gifts. It's not that. It's one that the Lord Jesus has given you to go with that ministry that he's put you in. It might not be the gifts of the Spirit that's on the evangelists. But there's an anointing on you. And Brother Hagin had one of that on him too. He had a healing ministry. But see, just like the Holy Spirit would come upon you or me or anybody else, and we were praising God, and we would know His presence was there. Well, see, the same way, if you're standing in that office and He's wanting to operate that, He'll come upon you and you'll recognize that, just like we would recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in something else. The same God, same Spirit. And sometimes, the Lord just speak to whoever the speaker is and say, "I want to heal some people. Just have a healing line." And you just stop whatever you're doing and you call the people up there. Sometimes He'll say, "Everybody that's having trouble with their kidneys, if you got problems with your kidneys, come up here right now." And He'll lay hands on every one of them. And it was all for the same thing. I mean, you just can't put the things of God in a box. You got to be open. And when He's speaking to you like that, you don't want to miss anything. Yeah. You don't want to miss not one word, praise God. Because there's so much you're dealing with people's lives when you're up there, and the Lord's giving you instruction. I mean, we're talking about, in some people, it's life and death, whether you know it or not. You just don't know. You don't know what's going on in somebody's body when they come up there. You disobey them, and you believe. If you've been teaching on faith and healing, and you have them come up there, you have to instruct them and let them know that when you lay hands on them, just like I said a while ago, if I lay hands on you, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and He'll start giving you utterance to speak in tongues. You lay hands on them, and the Spirit of God will come upon you, and that healing anointing will leave your hands and go into their body. If you receive it, you'll be healed. If you don't receive it, it'll come right back out. And people don't know that, Daniel. And you have to tell them things like that. So it seems like it's a lot of, quote, guesswork, but it's really not guesswork. It's you having enough word in you that the Spirit of God can speak things to you through the word by the Spirit. And he can, as long as you'll respond to him, so he can use you to minister about anything to anybody he wants. It don't matter. It can be a headache or be a head cracked wide open. I mean, nothing is impossible to the Lord. I mean, absolutely nothing is impossible to him, praise God. I'll tell you, sometimes with me, it's not always this way, but quite sometimes I'll get recalling stuff like I was here tonight, and the presence of the Lord will get on me, and I can't hardly talk. I'll start crying. But I can't control it all the time, I'll just be honest with you. And that don't mean everybody that cries is anointed, but nothing like that.
Disclaimer.
You just can't look to the natural. That's all I'm saying. You just can't.
You know, Pastor Gary, you've talked an awful lot tonight about the inward witness, about tongues, about the gifts of the Spirit in general, and all those require the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know this comes after salvation.
Yeah, that's the only requirement.
So I think it would be a fantastic way to wrap this up, put a beautiful bow on this episode. Would you just minister and lead any of our listeners who have not experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, would you mind just leading them through that, through your microphone?
I would, but in order for me to just to really do that, I would need a good 45 minutes, maybe an hour. I'm serious, because you can't believe God beyond your knowledge of the Word. And there's people that don't know very much in that area. The more confusion in that area of receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, there's more confusion there than there is anywhere else. Even more than in the gifts of the Spirit, I think.
Well, I can definitely attest to that in my own baptismal. And I won't get long-winded here, but just to paint the picture, I was in a Colosseum with hundreds of people, and I remember hearing that from the Lord, and people are, well, I heard in my spirit, I want to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you'll receive it. And there's this line of people, and I mean, there was probably 100 people, and this guy's walking down the line, I don't remember the evangelist's name, and he's slaying people in the spirit, people are receiving the baptismal, and he just says, if you want to be prayed for, just take a step forward. So all these people do. I'm the only person in that line who didn't take a step forward because I heard the Holy Spirit say, you don't need him to pray for you. That's not a requirement.
That's right. That's right.
And I kept thinking, you sure? Because everybody else took a step forward and it really seems to be working. You know? So it doesn't look that bad. The water looks fine. I'm really thinking about taking a step forward. But I heard, no. All you need is me. You don't need him. He's a person. I'm using him right now for something else.
Yep.
So I went over in the corner. And I had two friends praying for me in their spirit language. And I literally said out loud, Lord, if I'm in error, I'm sorry. But I feel this utterance. And I'm going to move my mouth and let it flow. And if I'm wrong,
convict me. But otherwise, I'm just going to take a step out in faith and go for it. And I did. And ever since that day, yes, I can turn it on, I can turn it off. And what I missed was the fact that it was a gift. And I totally overthought it. And in my head, I said, it's going to look like this. It's going to sound like this. I already know. So I don't need to worry about any of the other stuff because I know. And that wasn't the case. And there was that whole notion of, you know, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And that notion of, well, you need to get sanctified. You got to get things out of the way. And, you know, you need to be saved enough. It took a long time before I understand. I'm saved. You're saved.
The blood of Jesus is all that.
Yes. If I choose to go farther in my walk, great. But I'm saved. You're no more saved than I am once we accept Jesus.
And you're sanctified.
All you got to do is accept the gift.
That's it. And that's what he was telling you about receiving the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what he... Lord, I received that Holy Spirit you just spoke to me about. Praise God.
But I was hearing a really... I think a good way, like Corey was saying, is, Poppy, if you will minister to people for a minute, and if you'll lead them in a salvation call first, please. And anybody who's listening to this, all you have to do is repeat what my grandfather's about to say, and you will be a member of the kingdom.
Yeah.
This is going to be a salvation call. You are going to be a believer after you utter these words, and I'll stop talking now.
All right. Okay. Yeah, because the purpose of the gospel is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to get you delivered from the authority of darkness and transfer you into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what it's all about. Make you a son and a daughter of Almighty God and give you eternal life in His presence. Glory. That's shouting ground right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, and I'm just going to go slowly so they'll have time if they want to respond to this. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I repent of my sins for everything in my life that I've done, praise God. I repent of my sins. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And I believe Jesus to be the Lord of my life from now for all time forth, praise God. Not only my Lord, but my Savior and my Lord. If you just pray that simple prayer right there, that's what the Word of God says you have to do. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you have done that. And so you can open your mouth and say, thank you, dear God, I am saved. I am born again. And then just thank him for it. Immediately, there'll be a change in your life like you've never... The life of God will come into you, and it is the life that God lives. It is the eternal Zoe of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your wonderful plan of salvation to restore mankind back unto yourself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, you would think that I haven't heard any of those stories before. Because, my gosh, they wrecked me all over again. You could definitely feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that wood-paneled living room, for sure. Sitting on that very famous couch where the Lord met me, gosh, a long time ago, when a young 16-year-old Daniel had that first moment of crying out to the Lord. So thank you for taking that walk with me down memory lane and letting me share my grandparents with you. Now, on a different note, we got a little tradition here at LITD that we like to call shout out.
Shout out!
Take it away, Mr. Cuddy.
Well, today's shout out comes to us from Apple Podcasts. And if you, dear listener, would like to be featured on an LITD Pod shout out, go on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and a written review, and we will give you a shout out. Today, we have a lovely review from Sean Chambers. From that username, I have a pretty good idea who this cat is, and we go way back. We go way back. The review reads, "I've been listening to you guys' podcast. It's so amazing. I love the content, and it has refocused me back to Jesus." Sean, thank you for sharing that with us, brother. That's why we started this podcast, for light bearers, for truth seekers, for the lost, to point back to Jesus. The testimonies we hear of people who've known Jesus, who have had a relationship with Jesus, but are now walking closer with the Lord because of something we said or something, a conversation we facilitated. It's why we do what we do. And we're so thankful for you leaving this review. And that's why you're the recipient of today's shout out.
Shout out!
Now, dear listener, if you would like to find out a little bit more about Daniel and I, check out our back catalog of episodes, or just generally peruse the interweb for sheer entertainment value. You can go over to a little place we like to call LITDpod.com.
LITDpod.com.
Wow. I'm on the other side of the LITDpod.com. That was a lovely echo. If you would like to get a hold of Danny Boy and Corey Boy, you can reach out.
Sounds like a jacked up sidekick.
Oh, gosh. Corey Boy. Anyway, if you would like to reach us, if you have a testimony to share, if you met Jesus recently, especially through our podcast, if you have a prayer request, or just a testimony or something you'd like to share, would like to be a guest on the podcast, you can reach out to us at LITDpod@gmail.com.
That's LITDpod@gmail.com.
LITDpod@gmail.com.
We got a new soundboard.
We did. We're very excited about this new soundboard.
Guys, we love you. Thanks once again for just spending some time with us and loving on Jesus. Till next time, take care, y'all.
Danny boy, I cannot take you anywhere without something popping off. Man, let's talk about what happened to us earlier today at lunch.
Well, we had a Holy Ghost setup. That's what I'd call it.
I think that's an accurate description.
I guess short story long, because that's how we do things nowadays. We merely ordered a sandwich, and the Holy Ghost chose to show up in a clearly, just from the moment we went into line in that place, the people that walked in, the conversations that started, next thing you know, there's a guy behind the counter wanting to know what our podcast is about because he overheard us talking. Mm. And oh my gosh, did it get interesting.
So we walk in, we get in line, someone walks in that we know, and we just chat with them about the podcast a little bit. We don't even know why we're talking about it.
We like, do that all the time.
We say things and it's like, I don't even know why I just said that, but we're not thinking too much about it. Guy asked me what kind of sandwich I want. We're at Jersey Mike's. He's behind the meat slicer, slicing up some turkey, slicing up some
ham. It looked so good.
It was a delicious Sam doozy. Anyway, I noticed this guy and there's just something about him.
He did. And we literally sat down with our sandwiches, and they had literally forgotten the bacon on mine, but that'll come in later.
I don't think it will. It's not an important
detail. Only in the form of them giving me bacon going, we forgot, we're so sorry.
Can we talk about how much bacon they gave you? That was like 5 or 6 slices.
And it was so crispy. Anyway, we sit down at the table and Cora's like, that guy seemed so familiar. Like, I just feel like I know him. And I was just like, bro, you know what? I bet he's a believer. You know, I bet that's what it is. That's because he clearly felt familiar, I guess, is how I would describe that. Or if you're a fan of the podcast and you listen regularly, you know, we say the phrase kindred spirits. It's easy to recognize another believer when you got that good old Holy Ghost bouncing around inside of you.
So we sit there. We're just chatting.
As we do.
That was just a brief little thing. And we're talking about the podcast. We're talking about a recent interview. We're talking about, you know, when do we release what episode? Do we go back and re-record something? Yada, yada, yada. We're just chopping shop. And I don't think people say that, chopping shop. That
Talking shop.
Talking shop.
Or chopping it up.
I don't think we want to have a chop shop.
They make a lot of money. Anyway.
We are looking for a way to make anyway. So all of a sudden, we're just sitting there talking, and we hear from across the counter at Jersey Mike's, "Hey, boys, we were just wondering, I got to ask, what's your podcast about? I heard you talking to that lady about your how you having a podcast, and we just got to know, what's it about?"
And immediately, it was like, "Well, hey, well, we're a spiritual, paranormal, we're a supernatural, I guess spiritual too, supernatural and paranormal podcast," and we just gave them a quick rundown, you guys, of this is what we do.
We're Christians, and we have a Christian supernatural paranormal podcast. Yeah. That's basically all we said.
And homeboy's like, "I'm a Christian."
And I was like, "Yeah, I know. We picked up on that." He had a coworker sitting next to him, little girl, probably, I don't know, 20, 21.
Give or take.
Her jaw hits the floor.
Bam!
When I say, "I knew you were a Christian." So we just talk about it. We talk about it, man. I am telling you, sitting in the middle of the Jersey Mike's, we are talking about the fact that we talk about werewolves and Bigfoot and demonic encounters. And then from across the counter, sitting in the Jersey Mike's, this man starts talking about a demonic encounter he had where he had an 8-foot-tall snake demon walk in through his sliding glass door.
Let me also let you know, for half that conversation, he was helping make someone's sandwich, which means there was someone on the other side of the glass while he's like, "Oh, I saw a demon." Then he is checking them out at the register, still going, "Yep." And then God told me to leave Orlando.
That's a number 7 with chips, right?
Literally. And you know what, guys? He didn't miss a beat. It was so refreshing to see this guy go, "Fellow believers." And instantly he was drawn to, like, I have to talk to these guys, because clearly the Holy Spirit in him was acknowledging the Holy Spirit in us. And there was this instant kingdom connection. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost setup. Keep going, Core.
So we get up. We're going. We got to get back to work. Lunch break is over. We get up. Just quickly refilling our drinks. I hear him from across the counter again. "Hey, hey, 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 boys, 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 boys." She wants to know, talking to the girl whose jaw hit the floor.
Bam!
How you knew I was a Christian. And I just looked at Daniel. Daniel looked at me. And I said, "Oh, we just knew."
Yeah, and I just felt it oppressed upon me, you guys. And said, "You know what?" And I told her about being kindred spirits, and he didn't miss a beat, and he said, "That's right, you knew me by the spirit." And even then, you could see this was new to her, and you could also see that she definitely was on his Holy Ghost radar as somebody he was witnessing to, and he definitely saw an opportunity to go, "Hey, they're on my team, let's team up together." And then for her to see that this man instantly had a connection with us, because in that moment, even when he was talking about the church he was going to, we all knew we served the one true God, and we knew him to be real and among us and functioning and in relationship. And it's so hard for someone who's not a believer to go, "What the heck just happened?"
Yeah. And let's just define that real quick, because you say kindred spirit a lot, but a lot of people wouldn't know what that means.
Yeah.
Kindred just means family. Yeah. Kinfolk.
Yeah.
It's a familiar, like, you can feel it. It's like a family member. You feel they're in the family of the body of Christ, and you can just tell they're a Christian. So we have this conversation. We're letting them know. We say, "Hey, it was good to meet everybody. We'll see you later. Next time we come for a Sam Doozy."
Said he was going to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. It was very pleasant. We gave both of them podcast cards, and we leave. We're almost to the car.
Almost.
And I hear from behind me, and I see him jogging up. He said, wait, boys, got to talk to you before you go.
Guys, he shared with us the ministry that God was birthing in him to reach other men. He shared with us the fact that he had a heart for worship, and he had even written some worship songs, chose to sing a little bit of one for us. He could barely get through without crying because you could tell the Holy Spirit's all over this. And then you know what we got to do? Right there, amongst all those same people who were getting their sandwiches made and going to their cars, we stood there, wrapped up with this man, and we got to pray with him right there in the Jersey Mike's. I can't even talk. It's making me emotional again, right there in the Jersey Mike's parking lot. And it was so cool. And you know what? To a degree, is that another day in the office as a believer? Yeah, we look for those opportunities everywhere we go, and we unashamedly talk about the gospel, and we're proud to do it. And that brother in Christ got a B12 shot in the arm of Jesus as he ran back into that Jersey Mike's, wiping the tears from his eyes, and so excited, I'm sure, to go to explain to his coworker what the heck just happened. And we got to be so excited to, in that moment, partner with the King and go, we just got to love on someone in Jesus' name. And you know what? It's hard to beat that.
And it all started with a man just exuding the love of Christ while he was slicing some turkey.
And some chick forgetting my bacon and then remembering.
That has nothing to do with the story.
But that bacon was so good.